The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm going to get into more of the top players in the NBA. Who's off the list? Give me some savage names off this list. Top 15, even. There's some future Hall of Famers not going to be in the top 15 right now. Who are in their primes. They won't, not top 15 players. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Not just according to me, but according to you. Trust me, when we go through the list, you're going to be like, yeah, can't get him in there. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Is Trae Young in there? You would think a guy who's performed like Trae Young this year is a top 10 NBA player. He's not. It's no knock against him. It's just how impossible it is. Is he a top 15 player? He scored 48 points last night with 11 assists and 7 boards. He's like about 5'2". It was his first Western Conference Finals games. Steph Curry has played in 27 Western Conference Finals games. He's the greatest shooter who ever lived. You know how many times he's averaged or he dropped 48 points in a Western Conference Finals game? Out of the 27, zero. Trae Young's played in one Western Conference Finals game, just dropped 48 points. The sky is the limit with this guy. It's crazy because, like, he's played himself into the position now where it isn't crazy to ask who won that draft day trade. Was it the team who got Trae Young and a first rounder, or was it the team that got Luka Doncic? I mean, Luka's played out of his mind. Luka played so well that when my eyeballs were last on him, I said, is he the best player in the NBA? And then I watched KD and I said, no, KD's even better than that, I think. And I'm not sure if either one of those guys is better than LeBron. And we can't watch Kawhi play because he's hurt. But Jokic, by the way, was the MVP. Had a monster playoffs. The best player in the game this year overall, at least in the regular season. And Embiid was better than him, but he got hurt a little too much. He was a beast in the playoffs, too. And Harden, game for game, was better than everybody. But he missed too much time with the hamstring. And Damian Lillard was in it until the end of the MVP race, and he tired out a little bit. And is Damian Lillard a top 10 player? It is insane. And Trae Young is just, he's just great, man. Like, he's got that thing where the bigger the stage, the better he plays. I know it seems like, let me tell you how it works in this business. You know automatically, you're like, hey, you know what? Steph has some choke in him. And you know that's going to get a reaction out of people because everyone loves Steph. And how dare you say anything? You're basically for Steph or against Steph, right? I love me some Steph Curry, but I got to be honest. I know it's going to rile you up, but I got to be honest. I've seen him choke on the big stage too. Let me put it another way. I have seen him not play up to his own normal standards too often as the pressure goes up. But you know what I've seen from Trae Young? As the pressure goes up, he gets better and better and better. The Hawks were down 7 with 4:18 in the game. They went on a 17-8 run. I'll just remind you, Steph played out of his mind in the whole thing, but it was a play-in game, meaning it's one of the ninth or tenth best team in the conference. And in a play-in game, win or go home, the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds of overtime, Steph scored 0 points, and they lost. Hard to imagine Trae Young doing that, isn't it? When it matters most, he plays better and better. If Steph had that thing in him that Trae Young has, like, oh my God, he doesn't get careless under pressure. He gets better under pressure. Steph would be in the conversation for greatest player ever. If Steph actually elevated over his normal standard, he's not in the conversation. Steph's not in the conversation for greatest player ever. No one would ever think he's in the conversation. Not in the conversation. Because of that. Why else would it be, guys? Well, because he doesn't play defense. No. It's because he's played in 5 finals. He's never been the best player in the finals. And he's often not been the best player on his own team. In the finals. No finals MVPs. And frequently not the second best player in the series. Frequently. Hard to imagine. Now, Trae Young does not have Steph's ability. But he has that extra dimension in his makeup that allows him to play over his head when the stakes get higher. So The last four, not the last 330, he scores no points like Steph this year got sent packing. He scored or assisted on 13 of the 17 points. Raj, I would love to see the rest of that stat I have written down on the screen. There you go. There we go. On 13 of the 17 points, including four free throws in the final 20 seconds of Atlanta's three-point win over Milwaukee. Now, the Bucks host the Hawks for Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Friday. I'll tell you what. Budenholzer, when he coached the Hawks, they won 60 regular season games. They got swept in the playoffs, and including me, I said, look, he doesn't have a superstar on that team. It's to his credit that they won 60. You can't hold it against them. They got swept in the playoffs. Then he goes to Milwaukee. They win 60 games. Now he has a superstar in Giannis. They're still getting beaten up in the playoffs. But this year now, finally, after getting humiliated in the playoffs multiple seasons, they bring in Drew Holiday. And now remember, those hedge fund guys that bought the Bucks played Milwaukee cheap. They should have retained Brogdon, but they didn't want to pay luxury tax. And because of that, they couldn't match salaries in this offseason to bring in a guy like Chris Paul to play with Giannis. They had to settle for a guy like Drew Holiday, who's very good, but he's not Chris Paul. And as a result, they don't have a real big three, right? Maybe Middleton could be the third wheel in a big three if Chris Paul is the second wheel, and maybe even that's not enough, but it certainly gives you a better fighting chance. But then what happened? Oh, to the Bucks' luck. Everyone got hurt. Everyone in the league got hurt. Embiid, even on a meniscus, was playing on a torn meniscus, was playing out of his mind, but would he have played even better had he been fully healthy? Think about what the Celtics were ravaged by injury all season, especially late in the season. Ooh, this could be the Bucks' lucky year, right? And then the Nets, the unbeatable Nets. They don't even have James Harden, and they are showing the Bucks they shouldn't even be in the same league with them. The Nets should have a higher league. In 1996, the manager, Tom Kelly, the manager of the Minnesota Twins, saw Mariano Rivera for the first time in the playoffs. 96, people didn't fully know about Rivera yet. He had this great season, but he's a setup guy. And Tom Kelly was asked about Rivera. He goes, he needs to be in a higher league. I don't know what that league is, but that's what the Nets were. With just KD and Kyrie. Harden wasn't even playing, and he's the whole organizer of the offense. Just KD and Kyrie. And the Bucks were totally stepped on. It was not a series. They should have stopped playing the series. Then Kyrie goes out. Now it's KD by himself. Harden comes back, but that's not James Harden. He's playing hurt, and he's just out there on the floor. He's actually making them worse. Killed a transition game, couldn't play defense, missing shots. Then it's our lucky year. Oh, we can come back because the Nets are hurt. And now we play the Hawks, and they don't have any, like, they have one great player and a bunch of role players, and, boy, you better not lose this one. Does Budenholzer survive? If they lose? Freak! What's the mindset after the loss?
You know, you don't want to lose. You know, you don't want to be down. But at the end of the day, as I said, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. You got to come out, game two, try to compete, and wish for the best. You know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't get easy. It doesn't matter if you were down 2-0 with Brooklyn. That was a different series, you know. That doesn't mean that you might get, you might be down 1-0 or 2-0 and get back. Might be a totally different case. So never gets easy. At the end of the day, we got to come, as I said, we got to do our job. We got to be better.
Middleton can't be invisible. He can't miss 9 threes. Middleton has to be an all-star. You know, he's not an all-star every year because he's usually not great. He's sometimes great and usually good. Same thing with Drew Holiday. That's why it's no big three. Kyrie and James Harden, always great. Like, usually great, sometimes good. It's the reverse with Middleton and Holiday. And that's why they weren't as good as the Nets, clearly, until the Nets got hurt. Boy, they better be better than the Hawks. Or I don't know if Budenholzer survives. And they're going to have to do better than Holiday and Middleton for Giannis. On the Goodyear Hotline, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Jeff.
Yo.
There he is. Let me ask you something.
What's up, Jeff?
What QB was Tom Brady talking about on the shop? when he said there was one team he wanted to play for, and they said, no, we're going to stay with our guy, and said, you're going to stay with that expletive?
Yeah.
Who was he talking
about? So I have not, I guess this makes me a bad reporter, I have not asked Tom himself who he was talking about. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. The Raiders were in this thing until the very late goings. They were among the final teams that were having the internal discussions. And they are also a team that backed away, that basically said, you know what, we're not interested. So, you know, like the Saints, for instance, that was another team that was very much in the hunt. But that was contingent on whether Drew decided to come back or not. And I'm not talking about the first time Drew said he was coming back. I'm talking about much later in the process when he was contemplating a broadcasting career and ultimately retiring. So that's different. That wasn't like the Saints were like, hey, I mean, we're talking about a legend in Drew Brees. So put that one aside. The Raiders one, though, like, I kind of get that.
What about, you know, my first thought, Jeff, when I heard it was, it's Garoppolo. Because he's from Northern California. The Niners were ready to win the Super Bowl. They kind of hid Garoppolo as much as possible. But still, he was the quarterback on the team that was one throw away. And he did miss Sanders to win the Super Bowl. But next time, maybe he hits him. And maybe Brady, I figured, is looking at the Niners going, hold on. I can't go home and play for a ready-to-win Super Bowl team because the same guy that Bill Belichick wanted to trade me because they thought he was the heir apparent, he wanted to let me go, he's blocking me somehow again, you know, at the end of my career.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm very confident. I'll say fairly confident it's not Garoppolo.
Okay, so it's Carr.
The reason I say that is because when we're going through the process about that one, the 49ers, like that didn't go very far. And Tom, it wasn't going to work for Tom just as much as it wasn't the 49ers were kind of feeling like they should stick with Jimmy too. That was a little bit of a mutual situation.
I see.
And by the way, I think that Tom ends up with the Bucks anyway, even if the Raiders did put their offer forward. And this is where Tom is so interesting about the chips that he puts on his shoulder, continues to do even at this age. Like, he was going to go with the Bucks anyway. It fit everything that he wanted. Like, there were four key components. It was about weather. I know Vegas has good weather, but it was about weather. It was about being on the East Coast close to his son. It was about playing for a coach, which probably would have worked for Gruden as well, that was willing to be collaborative. There were these components that I think would have led him to Tampa anyway.
Right.
That's the funny part to me. It's like he still holds a grudge, even though it's like I just want them to want me. I didn't want to actually go there, but I do want them to want me.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. That makes sense. I would say that, you know, no state income tax, warm weather, and also you get more credit for joining a team like the Bucks that seemed to be far away on paper, 7-9, but of course had every single element you need except a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over a lot, right? That's Brady. And you plug in, you got to figure at least a playoff win. You're at least going to win double-digit games and at least a playoff game, even if Brady was in decline. So maybe he does wind up there anyway. But it's interesting to me that it's not enough for him to get to go to the place he ultimately chooses. He's also still mad that he couldn't be the choosing one, that Gruden apparently or someone on the Raiders is like, no, we like Derek Carr. But that says something.
You know what?
If that's the guy, Jeff, then he doesn't think a lot of Derek Carr.
Well, you know what was fascinating about it, too, is like if we think back to March, like I remember at one point saying, reporting that there were seven teams at the time that were having these like internal discussions about whether they were going to pursue Tom. And people kind of like freaked out on me, like they didn't believe me, like that there were seven teams. And this was not like seven teams that were offering him contracts, but that were seriously contemplating adding Tom Brady. And people were like, seven teams? There's not seven teams. There's no way there's seven teams. And now it's like, you know, in retrospect, revisionist history is like, what do you mean a team didn't want Tom Brady? Like there were, if we think back to that March, there was a lot of teams coming off of one of his worst seasons that were a lot of fans were saying he's done.
Well, in other words, that GMs were seeing what I was seeing, most GMs, which is
right.
I thought he was in severe decline at that point. He looked year over year. The passes got shorter and less accurate. That's not a good combination. But it turns out, in fact, it was a total lack of offensive weaponry at his disposal. And once he got that, he was fine. Speaking of weaponry at your disposal, so the quarterback I see, Jeff, talking to Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, that has the most pressure on him this year, more than Carson Wentz, more than Dak Prescott, or just got a new contract, more than Aaron Rodgers, anyone, is Matt Stafford. Because for so many years, we looked at him and said, top five arm talent. He's in Detroit. So he's going to confirm one of two suspicions, I think, that we all simultaneously hold about Stafford because we don't know.
Yeah.
One is he's a really good quarterback who is in a bad situation. The other is something's missing. He just can't win. He's in a position now where there's no excuses, right? What do you expect from Stafford and the Rams?
You know what's really interesting? That's the first time I've really even considered that. So thank you. Because I always thought Dak Prescott has like the most pressure of anybody in professional sports on him, given, you know, the nature of the market, the money that he ultimately fought for and got, the whole thing. But to your point, when it comes to Stafford, I've been applying all the pressure on Sean McVay and on the Rams organization for giving up the first round picks, giving up on Jared Goff two seasons removed from the time when Goff actually was in the Super Bowl. So, like, I've been saying, hey, you better be right on this. But you're right. For Stafford, it's the same thing. Like, for years we've been talking about it, including me. I've long said, yeah, Stafford's one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. But you're right. Like, here you go. Like, this is your moment. This is the Rams' moment. And this is a lot on the line for everybody involved. I completely agree with that.
I didn't even add that into the equation. I mean, I have in my calculation, but I'm glad you said it. Not only is all that true about Stafford, the Rams had a quarterback who they drafted one overall and with whom they traded two firsts and a fourth.
And paid him.
Paid him and then drafted two firsts and a fourth to bring in Stafford. And on top of that, that guy had gotten them to a Super Bowl and had made two Pro Bowls. And you're replacing that guy because they think you're that much better? Oh, you better perform.
And by the way, Sean McVay, love the guy, love him. But at the same time, like, we're still talking about a coach who, by the way, has not done anything without Jared Goff. So
right.
This is his
first
time with another quarterback, too.
We'll see. I mean, by the way, Dak, I don't think there's a ton of pressure out, honestly, Jeff, because we all know the offense is very good. He was good last seen with the offense. Mm-hmm. If they lose, it's going to be because of the defense, as usual. And excuses will be made for Dak and the Cowboys. Well, it's not his fault, da-da-da. He went 8-8 when he was healthy with a lot of offensive weapons and a great offensive line. Couldn't even win the division, and everyone gave him a pass because they could see it was the defense, right? Carson Wentz, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But I want to pick your brain quickly. Like in 1 minute, Odell is coming back, and so is Saquon Barkley. Who's going to have the bigger impact on their team? Odell on the Browns, who look like they're one dynamic receiver away, maybe from winning a Super Bowl if Baker can get it done.
Yeah.
Or Saquon on the Giants, who will completely changes the complexion of that team with his overall play. Who's going to have a bigger impact on their team?
I don't know if this is a cop-out. I think the easy answer is Saquon. And I say that because the running back can dictate. I mean, you got to have a good offensive line, but a great running back can dictate his success more than a great wide receiver can. So the Baker-Odell thing is fascinating to me, whether they can get on the same page.
Yep.
But to me, I think we know. I personally feel very confident that I know what Saquon's capable of doing. That guy's a beast.
Yeah,
Odell is a great player. It's going to be relying on what Baker Mayfield can do for him.
Saquon's the greatest running back prospect in history. 2,000 yards from scrimmage as a rookie. He's Barry
awesome.
Sanders, but he's 235 pounds and can catch and everything. The great Jeff Darlington, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL
Insider.
Thank
you very much, man.
Jeff, thank you for hopping on with me, man. Appreciate it. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So Chris Paul is listed as available for tonight's game, returning to the Clippers in the biggest game in Clippers history, returning to maybe end their finals hopes. Chris Paul was talked about as an MVP candidate this year.
Is he even a top 15 player right now? The Ultimate Fighter's back, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for the UFC contract, is on ESPN+. Stream new episodes every Tuesday, only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/UFC.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You know what, Raj, I have to take a call just to show people I mean business. No one's going to believe me after a while. I keep giving them the phone and I never take a call. All right. But you got to show me the call bank there. Just scroll up a little bit.
You got to tell me who the show is presented by first.
Did I not just do that? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Yeah, I thought I just did it. Tony in Wisconsin, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, big fan. How you doing, sir?
Thank you, brother.
I just wanted to find out your idea on like the kind of slowly growing personality of villain that Trae Young is getting into here with shushing the crowd, the shoulder shrugs that he does. I mean, when Seth Curry does it, he kind of does it in a Muhammad Ali, I'm so pretty kind of way. But Trae Young's kind of doing it a little arrogance to him.
That's a really good
point. And when you poke the bear in Giannis, he gets better when he's angry.
Maybe, but it's a good point. The difference in Steph's personality is like, it's not so much like I'm trying to be obnoxious to you. I'm just kind of feeling myself. Trae wants to stick it to you. He really enjoys that. I think that makes him a better pressure player, to tell you the truth. Like, he loves it. He loves playing the villain. But you're right. Like, you know, I don't know if it's poking the bear in Giannis. I don't think Middleton's going to go 0-for-9 from 3 every game. I think there'll be enough games where Middleton hits shots that the Bucks will win the series. But they just gave up home court just like that because Trae is the man under pressure. Now think about the NBA right now. Is CP3 a top 15 player? 15. He was an MVP candidate this year. Is he even a top 15 player? Is Kyrie? If you said yes to CP3 or Kyrie or Klay Thompson or Zion Williamson or Russell Westbrook or Paul George or Bradley Beal or Jimmy Butler, consider this for a second. Who are you taking out of the top 10? Not LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, AD, Kawhi, Embiid, Jokic, Luka. That means Dame isn't a top 10 player. Or you want to put Dame in and say Kawhi's hurt too much, or AD is hurt too much, or Embiid even, to fit Dame in. Giannis, by the way, did I mention Giannis? Yeah, top 5, forget it. Top 5 is brutal, but top 10 even. So let me tell you who's not in my top 10 right now. Damian Lillard, Trae Young, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, or Jason Tatum. But they are in my top 15, which means I don't have Kyrie Irving or Chris Paul in my top 15. Like, I don't believe that. I think that's wrong. I'm saying it out loud on the radio. I'm going, Max, you idiot. Of course they're top 15. And I'm there going, it's like an all-star snub. I'm there going to myself, like, who am I supposed to take off? And I think, Jason Tatum, take him off. He's too young. Kyrie and Chris Paul have proven it. And then I think actually about what Jason Tatum can do. And I go, I don't know. Jason Tatum can give you 50. Oh, so can Kyrie. But Kyrie also comes like sometimes with some baggage, and sometimes he's not available. Sometimes it's a medical reason. Sometimes it's another reason. Klay Thompson hasn't played in a minute. I mean, it is brutal. Meantime, listen to Ty Lue. Oh, wait, is this Ty Lue talking? Who's talking, Raj? What? You don't know? Okay. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Young Misuk? I see his name all the time on ESPN.
Young Misuk.
He's our ESPN NBA reporter, but I know I'll butcher his name. On the 6 p.m. Sports Center. He's talking about Coach Ty Lue. Now, you heard Kendrick Perkins on the Sports Center update saying, Ty Lue's the best coach in the NBA. I've been saying that too. Perk and I, as much as we argue, agree about certain things. And like hot takes, I guess you'd call them. I'm just saying, like, I know Greg Popovich is still coaching. I know Spoelstra's great, and there are other – Monty Williams is great. The job that was just done in New York by Thibodeau, and there are others. But if I had a team, and I could choose any coach, it would be Ty Lue. So what about Ty Lue and the fact that he's down 0-2?
Once again, the Clippers find themselves down 0-2 in a series. But this is where Lue has done his best work. After their crushing Game 2 loss in Phoenix – Patrick Beverley said the players are confident they'll rebound. They jokingly call Lue Bill Belichick with all the series-turning adjustments he makes. In the opening minutes of Game 3 against Dallas, Lue inserted Nick Batum in for Ivica Zubats, and the Clippers took off with their small lineup. And in Game 5 against Utah, Lue started Terrence Mann for an injured Kawhi Leonard to give Rudy Gobert fits. Former Cav Richard Jefferson told me, Lue is the only coach he's seen with the basketball IQ to go toe-to-toe with LeBron James.
I agree with that. And yet, if you don't have Kawhi Leonard and the other team has Chris Paul, good luck. You know, if they weren't getting Chris Paul back, I'd say, you know what? They barely could beat the Clippers at home. What's going to happen when the Clippers are at home? They should win. Let me tell you something. In the history of the Clippers franchise, this is the most important game ever played, and it's not close. If they can win this game, and Kawhi's not out for the rest of the season, which may not be that he may be out for the rest of the season, but let's just say for a second there's still a glimmer of hope that Kawhi can come back. If the Clippers can win a game 3 and Kawhi could get back for a game 4, they still have a chance to win the series. If the Clippers lose game 3, even if Kawhi comes back, this series is over. They're not going to beat the Suns 4 straight. It's the big Lakers fans. What do you think about that? The Clippers finally have a chance to win it all. It comes down to tonight's game, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. The biggest game in the history of the Clippers. Now, how about this? Can the Clippers even stay in L.A. if they lose this game? I'm serious about this. What if Kawhi bounces after, opts out and bounces? They mortgage the future for Paul George. He's not going to get it done by himself. He's a second banana at best. And by the way, not a top 15 player. Not a top 15 player. But actually, is he a top 20 player? That's debatable if Paul George is a top 20 player. It's debatable. Bradley Beal, Jimmy Butler, Ja Morant, Jamal Murray. You know, Jaylen Brown, let alone Kyrie, Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, Zion Williamson, Russell Westbrook. And I didn't even name the top 15 players yet. No, and then if that falls apart and the Lakers are on top of the world, LeBron and AD healthy next year, can the Clippers even stay in L.A.? Does Bomber have to take them back to Seattle? To Seattle. I'm going to say Portland. No, Portland has a team. Seattle doesn't have a team. Last take is your take. Coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
It's the biggest season ever. Jared Goff feels good with my ex-teammate and Dan Campbell in Detroit, and he feels appreciated. He feels like he has a voice, and he didn't feel that way in Los Angeles.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Joe, this is a good one. Jimi Hendrix. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Oh, the fun we had. Raj and Brendan, my trusty producer and technical leader, conspired to interrupt me at every turn. They were playing, they had a bet going. Who could distract me the most during the segments? Who won,
great
Raj? You or Brendan?
Segment, Max, great first segment.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Who won that bet, you or Brendan? It's close. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Oh. All right, top 10 as far as I'm concerned in the NBA, not in any particular order. LeBron and KD, Kawhi, Steph, Harden, AD, Embiid, Jokic, Luka, and Giannis. Know what that means? Damian Lillard's not in my top 10. How's that possible? But my next five would be Dame and Trey and Booker and Spida Mitchell and Tatum. You know what that means? Neither Kyrie nor Chris Paul are in my top 15. How's that possible? But then I have Kyrie, Chris Paul. I think if Klay is healthy, he's got to be in there. Zion and Westbrook. You know what that means? Paul George and Bradley Beal and Jimmy Butler, Ja Morant, Jamal Murray. None of them are in my top 20. What? It's gangster. Mark in Missouri, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I thought you had slept on Ja Morant, but you picked yourself up and got him in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's new to the league, basically. You got to give him a minute. He had a great play. First playoff series of his career, goes five games. They lose, of course, because he's number two overall pick in the draft because his team isn't very good yet. But for the series, he averages over 30 points with like eight dimes for the series. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Randy in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, your team is doing a good job, man. You got to go easy on them.
that is easy. That is going easy. Go ahead.
talk for a second about the man-to-man defense era versus the zone era, because we got a lot of great players today that do a lot of great things, but I don't know if they'd be able to do those same things that they played 25 or 35 years ago.
Well, that may be true. I mean, the league has changed in a way where a primary ball handler can really run up big numbers, but that's partly because Steph showed the imagination to say, no, I can take a shot from anywhere. I'll practice that shot from long, super long range. And the league imitated him because it worked. You know, like it's not just the way defense has changed and rules have changed. It's the skills that the players have developed as they learn to play more efficiently. Dalton in Iowa, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Hey, Max. How's it going? First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks, Dalton.
I just want to say that Tom Brady, I feel when I watch that clip, he's mocking Gruden. He does like a little lip curl, and I think he's doing an impression.
Ooh, good. You know what? I got to watch it. I got to watch it again. That's right. Is he actually mocking? Is he doing a send-up? Is he like doing an imitation? That's a good point from Dalton in Iowa. Why would he want the Raiders so bad? I look at the Raiders. I don't see a team that's ready to win right now. When I look at the Niners, I do. Although maybe the Niners don't even. Like when you draft a rookie quarterback, when you have Super Bowl aspirations, it tells me you don't think you're going to win the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, right? It tells me maybe I think more of the Niners than they think of themselves right now. Chris in Illinois, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I just wanted to get in on that MJ-KD debate with who was more gifted. Early on, I mean, Michael's hands are definitely a big-time gift. I mean, even Phil Jackson said that's what separates Michael from Kobe. His Michael Air Jordan, the way he hung in the air, the hang time. Yep. I mean, you can teach vertical jumps, but you can't teach that hang time.
You're right.
Then third of all, or fourth of all, the way he used to contort his body when he's getting those shots with and ones. I mean, it's often imitated, but never duplicated.
That's right, but KD's a better shot than Michael. Like, KD's shot was more pure than Michael. And it's not like Michael didn't practice his shooting. KD's more gifted in that way, in that specific hand-eye way. He seems to me to be more gifted, not to take anything away from KD, the work he's put in. But he's a purer shot than Jordan or LeBron. And then given his height, I think he is the most gifted. Now, Jordan's in that conversation, and so is LeBron. Jordan's the smallest out of those guys, but he jumped the highest. In fact, if you lined them all up and had them all jump as high as they could, Jordan's finger would be highest in the air. He had a 48-inch vertical, and he's 6'6". Added up, LeBron 6'8", with a 44-inch vertical. I don't know what Kevin Durant's vert is. I doubt it's 40, but like maybe. The point is they're all extremely gifted, but you have a hell of an argument that KD is the most gifted. Andre in Massachusetts, you got 30 seconds. You're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yeah, Max, we saw last night that Trae Young is certainly gifted, but I can't put him above Steph Curry right now, even though his success in the playoff loomed large.
Me neither. I'm talking about ceiling. I'm just talking about like his potential ceiling. Since I value the postseason and only the postseason, I really don't care about the regular season. Since I value the postseason, he has the potential to be a better postseason player than Steph.
100%, Max, but we have to remember what Steph did in 2015 before Kevin Durant came to town. He did lead them to that championship.
No, he didn't.
Kyrie and Kevin
no, he didn't. He was so badly outplayed by LeBron on the other team that they gave the MVP to Iguodala because they couldn't give it to Steph. No, he did not lead them. What led them was Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt. And then LeBron was so easily the best player on the floor, they just couldn't justify giving the MVP to the guy who didn't guard LeBron. Max Kellerman Show.
I want Iguodala.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.